Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC. And this is the best animated shows ever. So far.
That was even
where
bad.
We...
Go ahead.
Troy, you're doing to me.
I'm throwing you off your sentence in the middle of the sentence?
Yeah. So this is the show where we watch, talk about, and rank every animated show ever. Eventually.
We'll get there someday.
Eventually.
And today we're talking about episode 3 of Castlevania, which is called Labyrinth.
But before that,
I want to talk about voice actors. This is a weird one for voice actors in that most of the voice actors in this show aren't actually voice actors. They are actors because Netflix spends the big bucks, when they hire voice actors.
Yeah.
I don't think always to the best effect, because I think that voice acting is a different skill set than regular acting. So, specifically, I'm sorry to throw him under the bus, but Richard Armitage plays Trevor Belmont, and I don't think he's very good in this role. I don't like him. I don't know why. He sounds like he's voice acting. It doesn't sound like a real performance to me. It sounds like somebody...
Okay.
Putting on a voice, which is why my impression of him is all silly like this, because I feel like his voice doesn't sound sincere to me. It sounds like Trevor Belmont is trying to sound cool at all times.
Okay. So,
but Richard Armitage, go ahead.
You think that if they had actually got someone different in the role, like an actual voice actor, someone who does voice acting for their profession, because there are a lot of them, but there's a tendency these days to get to try and get big name people to do voice acting, and they're always on about how they love it because they can come in to work in their pajamas and stuff. But there's a reason why you want an actual voice actor to do some of this stuff, like the performance and the like how people use their voice in animated shows is a little different than actually just acting.
And
the physicality of acting isn't the same as voice acting as well.
And I think the problem is that if you're used to performing either on stage or on film, you're used to making your body part of the performance. And in voice acting, where you can't do that, I think there's a tendency to, like, overcompensate by overperforming with your voice, which then something about it doesn't come across to me. So I think a couple of the actors in this show have that issue, but the worst offender for me is Trevor Belmont. I don't buy the performance. It sounds like he's trying to sound cool all the time.
Yeah, he is slightly over the top.
Mm-hmm.
But, that could also just be because he's supposed to be this badass vampire hunter, and the character is also trying to, like, fit the Belmont sort of mold.
I could see it from that perspective. That hasn't really been something that I've gotten a sense of so far, but if they expand further that, like, he's, like... He was an outcast of the Belmont clan even before the Belmont clan was excommunicated. So he's trying to, like, be what the world expects a Belmont clan member to be. I could see something there. But as it stands, Richard Armitage is a good actor. He's Thorin Oakenshield in The Hobbit. He's recognizable, which is the case for a lot of these actors. Is I'm like, oh, I know their face. But it's just not my favorite performance. There's also Alucard, as we referenced earlier, is James Callis, who's Baltar from Battlestar. He's another one that I feel like is... We don't actually meet him, really, until episode 4.
Oh,
but
no,
when we meet him...
I think he's perfect for the role.
I do too, and I think he is being over the top, but it's totally fitting for that character to be over the top.
Yeah.
Like, in that instance, it totally works for me. Because he's especially the son of Dracula. Of course he's going to be over the top and dramatic.
Yeah, especially with how, well, things... he does stuff in that scene that you're like, oh, okay, this character's way over the top.
Super over the top and super dramatic, unnecessarily. Yeah. Like, he is putting on a show.
Oh, and for anyone who doesn't know, Alucard is Dracula backwards.
It's such a dumb name. Graham McTavish plays Dracula. He was Dwalin in The Hobbit. So, hey, we've got Thorin and Dwalin. He also played King Atlan in Aquaman, but I haven't seen Aquaman. But I recognize his face again. The actress who plays Sifa, who we'll meet in this episode, is Alejandra Reynoso. She is one of the only voice actors in this show. Everyone else is like actors, and she's actually a voice actor. And I think she does really good in this. She hasn't done anything I know her from, but there's a series called Winx on Nickelodeon that's like little fairy creatures of some sort. And she's in that, and she's like been in like 63 billion episodes of Winx material. So she's had a ton of practice, but it's mostly in that franchise. She also, you would have heard her in the background as a background cast member for extra voices in both Just Cause 4 and Red Dead Redemption 2. So she did some video games last year. Yeah. And then finally, the last voice actor I want to talk about is Matt Frewer, who plays the Bishop. I know this dude's face. I looked through his list, and it, like, he literally has 137 credits on IMDb. The dude has acted a bunch, but it's always, like, small parts, background parts. He's just, like, a working actor. He's been in everything. In voice acting, he did the voice of Panic in Hercules. Pain and Panic were the two little imp guys, so he's one of them. He's been on Orphan Black, he's been on The Magicians, he's been on Altered Carbon, Fear the Walking Dead, The Librarians, Eureka. He's just like done every TV show ever, it seems like.
I'm gonna have to look. What's his name again?
Matt Frewer, Frewer. Oh, he was Max Headroom. I didn't even realize that.
You want to know something really funny? Oh, I do know who you're talking about. Okay, so I know about Max Headroom, but I've never actually seen that show.
Yeah, I haven't either. I just know it as a reference.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's done all kinds of everything. I think he does really good as the Bishop in this show. Like, the Bishop's performance is creepy and unsettling to me, and I love it.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I totally know who that person is. Like, I've seen him in a bunch of stuff.
Yep. He's just one of those actors where he's done so much that you know him, even though you never realize you know him. Like, if you saw him on the street, you'd be like, do I know that? Did I see that guy at lunch the other day? Like, I know I've seen that guy.
I'm just trying to think of... Like, I know him from Altered Carbon because I watched that, like, three times already.
he was in Watchmen. He was Moloch the Mystic, the guy who gets killed.
I'm just trying to think of, like, that's what it is. It's Eureka.
Mm-hmm.
He was, like, he's the, like, crazy animal, guy in Eureka.
I only saw three episodes of Eureka, so I don't remember.
It's got, like, six seasons, and I've seen it all, so...
He apparently played Sherlock in a series of Hallmark productions.
Really?
Yep.
Weird. Thought I would have seen that.
He's been in Supernatural.
Well, I'm pretty sure everyone's been in Supernatural at this point.
Did you hear that Travis McElroy is making a push? He wants to be in Supernatural. He's been like binge watching the show and is trying to get into the last season. I love it.
But
I
was just about to say, like, it's coming up to season 16 of Supernatural. Like,
17,
everyone's been in that. Yeah, everyone's been in it.
Okay, hang on. I just found out a bunch more stuff that he's done. So hang on. Okay. He's been in Star Trek The Next Generation, an episode called A Matter of Time. Crew attempts to save inhabitants from devastating effects of a massive asteroid strike. Oh, the historian from the future. Oh my gosh, of course that's who he is. He pretends he's from the future and he's like, oh, it's the Enterprise. I remember reading about this. I'm so excited to be here. But really, he's trying to steal all their technology to take it back to the past in order to get rich off of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it's that guy. He's also been in the Batman animated series where he played Sid the Squid in the episode. I just lost it. What's that episode called? The Man Who Killed Batman. He's the voice of the Pink Panther in the 90s series of that. He's been the voice of Jackal in Gargoyles.
Yeah, that's what I was about to bring
up. Aladdin. He's been the voice of the leader on an Incredible Hulk cartoon. He was the voice of Dr. Wally Pretorius in Mighty Ducks. Oh my gosh.
Like, this guy, he doesn't just have a career as an actor. He has a career as a voice actor as well, which is probably why
absolutely
he is one of the better characters in this series. Like, the Bishop, who is legitimately insane and power hungry, and like he believes he's doing everything in the name of God and it's the right thing. In this episode, I don't think we get to see him, do we? Yes, we do, because there's a meeting between...
He does
show
up in this episode.
Yeah. There's a meeting between him and Trevor later in the episode, like, halfway through or something, but it's just, like, this character is, like, spot-on, sort of megalomaniacal, like, villain... But also, like, he's clearly insane.
And you get a lot of that through the performance. That's I think that this is one of the better characters and one of the better performances in this show. So seeing that guy has that much voice acting credits, which I missed when I did my research before, it makes sense why he's so good. Let's get into the episode here, yeah?
I was just looking on IMDb and I'm like, oh, he's Jackal in Gargoyles? Oh, sweet.
We're just going to keep putting Gargoyles on the list. Every week Gargoyles is eligible, I want it on the list until it gets picked. Because that was the show we were supposed to do this for. All right. Episode 3 is called Labyrinth. And it starts off with Trevor going into the mausoleum that's carved with really creepy demonic imagery all over the place. There's bats and stuff.
Not just demonic, but like monstrous. And I don't think there's... much like angelic. I think there's like maybe a saint or something there. Like
it's mostly dark and creepy.
Yeah. And he's looking around the room and he sort of spots something and he's like, aha.
He knows immediately where the secret tunnel is. Good job, Trevor. So he slides down this chute into a secret underground cavern. That's got torches on the wall, and there's fresh oil on the torches. Weird.
Yeah.
He lights up a torch. He finds a pipe, and it's warm. And this is in 14, so there shouldn't be warm pipes. He's like, "What? What is this? This is weird." And then he falls down a collapsible floor, but it's cool because he lands on his feet and goes.
He's
reflexes.
Like
reflexes. Good.
Reflexes of a cat.
And then the floor collapses again. It's dumb, but I was like, this is a dumb joke, but I like it.
Yeah.
Reflexes and, of a cat. Oh!
And then he falls into an even larger cavern.
Uh-huh.
That has pillars everywhere. Yeah.
It's got pillars everywhere and people, like statues of people in anguish and in combat. Like, oh, it's so nice that there's all these creepy, awful statues around. And he looks at one of them and goes,
I mean,
either someone left a statue of a speaker down here, or...
And then enters...
Big Cyclops shows up.
Yeah, Big Cyclops. My favorite statue when this scene first comes out is like, why would there be a statue of a suit of armor sitting down on the ground headless?
It's a weird statue to carve. Somebody's got a strange sense of art.
Yeah. And then he talks about the speaker. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. I guess what's going on here. The first time I watched this, I'm like, ah, oh, there's a Medusa or something here. There's like...
right.
Starts with a G. I can't remember what the family of Medusas are called.
Gorgon.
Gorgon, there we go.
Yep.
It's late.
I was expecting that too. I don't think of Cyclopses as turning people to stone, but he immediately starts dodging the laser beams this shoots out and goes, Stone Eye Cyclops, right out of the family bestiary. So apparently the Belmonts are familiar with Stone Eye Cyclopses, even if the Dunhams aren't. The powers. I should have said the powers, because I'm Treadle Power. Oh well. I've revealed my identity.
Well, the thing is like he alludes to like the past of the Belmonts in this scene.
Mm-hmm.
But it the best bit is there's an epic fight scene in which he throws his sword at it and it gets stuck in its chest and he's like, come on, realize you're dead.
I love that. Come on, you're dead. Stop and notice you're dead. Can I talk about this? He does the coolest. So first of all, the music in the scene is fantastic. This is where the music actually matches the coolness of what's happening. We didn't talk about the electricity. There's power. There's electricity in this room.
Yeah, when I brought up the pillars, that's what I was alluding to. I was hoping you would bring it up. That there's lamps with electricity that light up the whole room.
What? Okay, so swords in the Cyclops' chest. Uses his whip, flicks it out there. It grabs onto the short sword. He pulls it out and then swings it up in the air so that it hits him in the face. And then the knife is just spinning in the air because who cares about physics? It's just spinning and spinning and spinning. And Trevor runs up. He steps onto the back of the statue of the speaker. He steps up onto the speaker's head. He flips up in the air off the back of the speaker and he kicks the knife out of the air and the knife flies across the room and smacks the Cyclops in the face and it dies. It's so cool.
Just one correction about that whole thing. It's not a knife, it's a short sword.
It's a big knife, it's a short sword. It's all the same thing. And as soon as he kills the Cyclops, then the speaker comes back to life. She's not stone anymore, and it's a she.
And it's the granddaughter, and he's like, they wouldn't mention that, would they? Well, I don't get why they would, dress you girls like all the boys. And the Sophia?
Sifa?
Sifa?
Sifa? Sifa? S-Y-P-H-A.
Yeah, that's how it's spelled.
I don't remember how it's said.
She says it's better for when we travel.
Right.
Which alludes to like, you know, bad things happen to women who travel.
Yeah, which is dark. Very dark. But, so he's rescued her. And he's like, hey, your grandpa sent me to get your body, but hey, look, you're alive still, so let's go.
And as they leave, and she I'm guessing because she was the last one to come down there, she's the first one to de-stone, but the other things in the room start to destone as well. And it cuts back to my favorite statue, the headless armor, and there's a rugged neck stump that starts bleeding.
I miss that. Gross.
Yeah.
Ugh. Gross. We'll talk about it. So they end up going back to the speakers, and Trevor's like, hey, y'all really need to get out of here, because I don't know if you know this, but there was plumbing and electricity there, and we don't have those yet. We don't have plumbing and electricity, but that place did, and the only place that I've heard of having plumbing and electricity is Dracula's castle.
Yep. And he's like, "That your Messiah's not down there."
Mm-hmm. Because they're still talking about that sleeping soldier.
Yeah. And he's like, that's something Dracula has to do with. That's a trap.
Mm-hmm.
Get the fuck out of town. People are coming to kill you. There's no Messiah. Get the fuck out.
Just go. Just go. Please go.
Yeah. I'm begging you. Leave. And they're like, oh, we're not going to give up on the people. We want to stay. We want to help these people. And Trevor at this point looks resigned. And you think he's going to give up on them.
Right.
And I think it's this bit. It cuts to, like, twilight.
Not quite. It's not quite evening, because he goes outside and the priests are all standing around and are like, the bishop requests your audience at the church.
That's right. Yeah.
And he's like,
that's right.
You guys, I can't go to a church. I'm excommunicated. And they're like, he says that even the highest form of excommunication doesn't apply when you're requested. You've got to come because we said so. And he has a great line where he goes, look, if I enter the church and catch fire or something, it's your fault.
Yeah.
Because in this world, totally feasible that Trevor Belmont would catch fire on entering a church.
Here's the other thing. All the priests have gold on them.
Yep.
And knives. Yep. And I'm just like,
they are wealthy and armed.
Aren't priests supposed to, like, take a vow of poverty?
Not in Wallachia. Wakanda.
Weird.
Not in Wakanda.
Aren't they supposed to, like, not be violent or anything? Like, they're supposed to be peaceful?
I did like that. I think that's a cool twist for this show and this style of story, is that Dracula's not, like, the only villain in this show.
Oh.
Obviously, Dracula did unleash the armies of hell onto the civilian population, so he's got some issues, but the church is, like, just as evil in this show, and I think that's kind of a cool twist.
Well, here's the thing. It's clear that Trevor Belmont is a hero, but it's also equally clear that this strong-headed speaker lady who he rescues from this Cyclops is also going to be a hero in this story. Like, she
Definitely.
Is very outspoken. She's very direct. And she confronts Trevor Beaumont multiple times in the previous scene. And this scene with him returning her to the speakers about... like, his family's legacy, essentially. Like, you're a Belmont. You know about these monsters. You should be fighting them with us. You shouldn't be, like, running away.
Yeah.
Essentially. Which is
people
what
need
his
help.
Plan
we
is.
We should be helping.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, these people don't care about me. Why should I care about them? Essentially is his whole attitude in this scene.
Yep.
And then, they go, the priests, like, sort of force him to go to the church and talk with the bishop.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great scene of the bishop telling, him, like, like, Trevor Beaumont's pretty much like, you're not from here. And he's like, oh, how do you know that? And he's like, He tells him something. I can't remember now.
I don't remember why Trevor knows that he's not from there, but he's like, yeah, I was the bishop at Trigavista, and I got moved here, and...
Because, you know, I had a disagreement with the archbishop, and...
Yeah.
I think he brings up in this scene that he was the one who actually organized the burning of Lisa Tepesh. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, you're the reason the world is getting overrun with demons right now, then. And he's like, that is not my fault. And
he's like, no, man, because I did what God wanted, so it can't be my fault, because she was a witch.
Yeah, yeah. And, yep. You can see Trevor looking at this dude like, I don't want to say it because that makes me sound horrible, but, like, you're fucking crazy.
Right, yeah. Well, and crazy and kind of, like, corrupt with power, too, because he's like, I'm going to give you a gift, your life. And he tells him that he gets to leave town. Like, you can leave. As long as you're gone by sundown, you're fine. If you're here after sundown, you're not so fine. But you and your family have committed such terrible crimes, but I'm going to pardon you for today so you can leave town so we can kill the speakers, because it's their fault all this is happening. And he says, do this for me, and the matter of your excision from the church will be something we can discuss. And this is a creepy line here, because Trevor's like, ah, that came from way higher up the ladder. And the priest is like, Greshit will be the last major city. To all intents and purposes, I will be the church. So he's like totally cool with all the rest of the cities getting wiped off the map, because it gives him power.
Not just that, but he is like, he's banking on it. I'm going to have the power.
Yeah.
I'm going to have the power. You will listen to me because I'm having power. And it makes him sound so megalomaniacal in this moment.
Yeah. And there's cool lighting in the scene. Like, Trevor's down on the ground and the bishop's up on the pulpit, and there's like huge windows behind him with light coming in. Like, it's a beautiful scene.
He's pounding on the pulpit as well at some point. It's such a great scene.
It's really good. It makes me sad that the bishop dies in the next episode. Excuse me.
Yeah, just because he makes a great villain for this season.
Yeah.
But
I don't know where the story goes in season two, but I was looking forward to him being the main villain throughout the story, and he gets eaten up real good next episode.
Oh yeah. And like, it's so funny because Trevor's like, okay, and just because that bishop pissed him off by giving him like an ultimatum, Trevor's like,
specifically, he talks shit about the Belmonts again.
Yeah.
Because one of the lines Trevor says here is, he goes, my family did nothing wrong. We're only wrong because you decided we were wrong.
Yeah.
So good. That's what pulls him into this. He's ready to be like, you know what? I'm done with all of this. And then the guy had to go and talk some smack about the Belmonts. And so Trevor's like, okay, I'm going to go talk to those speakers again. Bye.
You know what? I wouldn't talk trash about the Belmonts. That guy's a badass.
Yeah, right.
The way that
one of your priests is missing an eye
and a finger on the other one, and he didn't even barely break a sweat doing it. And the way that he comes with like there's like eight priests surrounding him with knives and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the way that he comes is like kind of cocky and all sure. Like if
swagger.
They attack,
he has swagger.
Yeah. If they attacked him, I'm fairly sure he could disarm or kill all of them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to go into it, but next episode, there's some of that going on.
Mm-hmm. All right. So he goes back to the speakers and he's like, we got to go. We got to go. We got to go. And I think it's if he says, does one run away when someone tells lies about them? And he's like, dang it. Dang it. And then we cut to the beginning. And we see two different mobs. So the beasts are gathering outside of the town, and a mob led by the priests is gathering inside of the town. So there's two levels of danger here. And the first is that mob inside of the town. So they come to the house that the speakers have been hiding out in. They come with axes and hammers and start bashing down the door. And they bust open the door, and there's only one person inside. And it's Trevor, looking very much like a Dracula, the way he's standing there. It's creepy.
It's
You're
all
standing
shadowed,
like a Dracula.
And no, he's in like his big like fur coat, cloak,
which he's been wearing the whole show.
Oh yeah, it's like this long tattered black cloak with this white fur collar that like it's massive, and he's just sort of standing there in the shadows, and he's like, He pretty much dresses down like the priests at this point, doesn't he?
Yeah, one of the they're like trying to be like, where are the speakers? What's going on? What's happening? One of the things is he put the speakers somewhere safe, and then it cuts to that crypt with the dead Cyclops, and all the speakers are in there, and one of them's like, I swear, it just moved.
Yeah, that's right. That's probably the best bit because it's literally like a 5-second clip.
It's not even. It's like 2 seconds. It's just
I swear
there.
It moved. I swear it just moved.
And then it just cuts back. That's, I think, one of the best comedic moments in this show is, I swear it just moved.
But yeah, this priest who is like taunting Trevor and trying to get the whereabouts of like the speakers, he slaps Trevor twice in the face. And I gotta say, Trevor has some bloody restraint on him, like he's trying to avoid bar fights with bloody inbred farmers. He's getting like his whole family's getting talked trash about all over the place. That the bloody bishop is like dressing him down, and now he's getting slapped in the face by some no-name priest. And he's just taking it all coolly, and he's like, listen, they're out of harm's way. You can't get to them. And this priest is, like, being kind of an asshole.
And he insults the Belmonts again. And Trevor's, like, standing there just taking it until he insults the Belmonts. And then he's like, my family. And he starts messing with his cloak. The family you demonized and excommunicated. And he's fiddling with his cloak some more. And he goes, has fought and died through generations for this country. And then he drops his cloak and he's in his Trevor Belmont costume with a big family crest on the back and stuff. And he's like, it's not the dying that frightens us. It's never having stood up and fought for you. I am Trevor Belmont of the House Belmont. And dying has never frightened me. And then everybody draws swords. It's big action time.
Yeah.
So first round of combat. Let's put this in D&D terms. First round of combat. They roll initiative. Trevor wins the initiative. What does he do? Throwing knives. Throwing knives. Throwing knives. Throwing knives. Throwing knives. And he kills like, I don't know, seven priests?
No. He doesn't kill any of them.
Okay.
He disarms them.
He disarms like seven priests with throwing knives.
Yeah, because they all hit them in the hands and they drop their weapons.
And I guess I misspoke, because that must have been a surprise round, because then he gets another round of combat. And for this round of combat, he tackles the leader of the priests out of the doorway. And on the way out the door, he grabs a rope that he at some point had time to build into the structure of this building in such a way that he can tug on that rope and just collapse the whole building down on top of them.
Well, I mean, he's had all afternoon because he knows that that the priests and this mob are coming to kill the speakers. So he's had a bit of forewarning and time to set some stuff up.
I guess that's true.
What I find really interesting is you don't mention that he crushes this priest's throat as he tackles him out of the door.
That's true.
He kills this priest by tackling him to, like, the ground, by thrusting his arm into the dude's throat, and then onto the ground.
I'm pretty sure he also killed all the priests in the house when he dropped a house on their heads.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't... You're like, no, he didn't kill them, he just disarmed them. And I'm like, well, that's true in this 6-second round of combat, but in the next 6-second round of combat...
Here's the thing. They could survive that.
That's true.
It
might
is
be
survivable. I'm not saying that they're not uninjured.
Yeah, but you know what'll probably happen is, like, they're going to be trapped under the rubble, and then, like, tiny little demons are going to show up with, like, big boners and fuck them in the ear or something. And they're not going to be able to defend themselves because they're trapped under rubble.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just had, like, as you were explaining that, halfway through, I'm like, that wouldn't happen. And then all of a sudden, an image of a tiny demon just fucking a priest in the skull popped in my head, and it was just hilarious.
It could happen in this show. That would not be out of out of the realm of possibility. Like, if that happened, I'd be like, yeah, okay, that's, yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, like, he comes bolting out of the wait, is that the end of the episode? No, that's not the end of the episode.
A little more.
Yeah, he runs away.
Well, he grabs an axe off of one of the priests. And throws it Castlevania style.
No,
he uses an axe as a boomerang.
No. He uses his whip to take it out of the hand of a peasant. And the peasant's standing there all shocked and stuff like, What? My axe? And then he throws it. And it drops a massive cross that's above this crowd. Yep. Down into the crowd.
And that, like, disperses the mob long enough for him to go on the run. So we get, like, a cool chase scene where he's running through the city, and everywhere he goes, there's priests or peasants from the mob, and he's...
So, go ahead. The first time he runs back, because there's people chasing him through an alleyway, and there's some liquid on the ground, and he runs back, and he sort of, like, grabs... he, like, knocks him back and grabs a torch out of one of the peasant's hands and throws it on this liquid on the ground, which turns out to be oil, and this little fire starts up. And then when he gets a little bit further along, that's when all the priests come out to play.
And they've got bows and arrows.
Oh, yeah. They start firing arrows at him.
So he kind of ducks behind a wall, and he's like, I'm pinned down because they've got bows and arrows. What am I going to do? And then his buddy Thief Priest shows up. The one-eyed Thief Priest.
A bunch of priests come with, like, long weapons, and, like, the one-eyed priest comes along, and, well, he handily, like, starts dodging these arrows and fighting these priests at the same time. What I think is great is he disarms the one-eyed priest, thief priest, and holds him up as a human body shield to get shot by a couple of arrows.
And one goes in his eye! He gets shot in his other eye! This is the same day, and he lost both eyes.
I reckon the best bit is actually... after he's, like, fought off a couple of other priests, he grabs one of the spears off of the priests who come along. He throws it up at the one of the archers, hits that archer, and that archer lets go of the arrow that he was drawing, and he hits the other archer.
That's one of the more ridiculous things that happens. I'm like, okay, come on. How did he control that?
I think he was just lucky, to be honest.
So then, can I wrap up this episode?
Yeah.
So then, Trevor's running through the streets with the mob chasing him. The priests have mostly been dispatched, but the mob is still ready to attack him. And the camera pans out, and we see that the beasts are circling the city and ready to come down. Will Trevor Belmont escape the hordes? Does he plan to kill a monster in front of the mob to prove his goodness? We'll find out next time on Dragon Ball Z! I wrote it in my notes that way because I literally typed, is his plan to kill some monsters in front of the mob to prove his goodness? And then the episode ended, and I was like, oh, okay, that's the cliffhanger, is, like, what is he planning here? He clearly has some sort of a plan. All right, that is Castlevania episode 3. So, MC.
Yeah.
The big list. I'm pulling it up. Doop doop boop boo.
I had it up. I've got to get back to it. Where did it go? Oh.
I went too far back. I just put it into our list on OneNote, if that makes it easier.
Probably does. I went too far back in my web browser and music started to play.
Oh no.
There we go.
So right now the big list sits with My Hero Academia in the number one spot, and then Dragon Ball, Miraculous, SpongeBob, Biker Mice from... No, wait. I did that wrong. Let me try again. Right now, the big list is My Hero Academia as the best animated show ever so far, and then Dragon Ball, Miraculous, Dungeons & Dragons, SpongeBob, Biker Mice from Mars, and The Legend of Zelda. So our task is to put Castlevania on that list. You got any opening bids?
Oh, I reckon three.
Okay. So three would put it below Dragon Ball and above Miraculous.
Yeah. Now I reckon that's about right.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I like this show a lot. I would almost put it above Dragon Ball, maybe.
I would, except for one thing.
What's that?
I think it might be a little bit too gory.
Yes, that is exactly what I was going to say, actually. I think the gore in this show is... they're trying to set a tone, and I think they set the tone really well through the atmosphere. And the gore is just on top of that in a way that I don't necessarily need. Like, I get it. It's for grown-ups. I understand. You don't need to be this over the top with all the violence and the gore and everything.
Yeah.
And add to that the issues I had with the music. And yeah, I think that keeps it from ousting Dragon Ball. But it's a really good show. I really liked it. Like I said, I've already watched episode 4. I'm probably going to burn through season 2 because it's only 8 episodes, and I want to see where the story goes.
It's cool. Really good.
So that'll take the number 3 spot on the list.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
If it was probably more than this 3 episodes, I think it could be out Dragon Ball, but I reckon just for these like 3 episodes, it's a little too gory for like a lot of anime, but it's a really good show, and I am probably going to continue watching it, even though I don't know where, like you said in the last episode, how it was that these first 2 seasons is what was written about a decade ago,
right?
And it's encapsulated in these first 2 seasons, and we don't know where season 3 is going, but I'm still interested in seeing where it does go,
yeah,
sort of thing. So I think, yeah, it number 3 spot's perfect spot for it right now.
That works for me. Cool. So then we need to pick what we're going to watch next. I've already put onto the list Futurama, suggested by @JacksCatColt on Twitter. I haven't watched Futurama in a dog's age.
Neither have I, actually. I really don't. But I do. I'm just thinking. I don't want to pick another Tyler one, but it's sort of hard not to.
Tyler has submitted a lot. We need more submissions. We got to put some calls out on Twitter. Get some more submissions going.
Actually, let's go with something Thomas has put in here. It's something a little different than normal. How about Ben 10?
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. Oops, that's not what I wanted to do. Let me just clear that one out. All right. I'm going to put Gargoyles on for my personal pick. And what do you want to put for your personal pick?
Oh. How about Mob Psycho 100?
I have no idea what that is, but okay.
I do.
Mob Psycho 100. All right, so for next week, we will be picking between Futurama, Ben 10, Gargoyles, or Mob Psycho 100. MC's got a dice. He's going to give it a roll.
4.
It's a 4. We are watching Mob Psycho 100.
God damn it. Roll more threes.
Tell me a little bit about Mob Psycho.
So essentially, it's a kid discovers he has psychic powers.
Okay.
And he tries to find someone who can teach him how to control his psychic powers.
Okay. Interesting. So.
Yes.
I'm just trying to figure out how to say the name of the first episode. So, next episode, we will be watching Season 1, Episode 1 of Mob Psycho 100, which is called Self-Proclaimed Psychic Reagan Arataka and Mob. That's what it says is the name of the episode.
Yeah.
Okay,
A lot of the episodes will have long titles.
It looks like maybe are they... they've all kind of got a subtitle. Like, there's a title and then another title. Gotcha. All right. Well, we will give that a watch, and we will be back with you next week to talk about Mob Psycho 100. Until then, we don't have a closing for this show. I always think that we do, but we don't.
No. Last time you were like, we should probably say something stupid, and then I made that silly joke.
You can't just talk about the silly joke as... That's not... That doesn't count as making... Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Best Animated Shows Ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work
for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.
Do you like video games? Ever thought about making a video game? Do you find that a week or 2 weeks is kind of short for a game jam? Well, have I got the game jam for you with the We Can Make This Work Probably Game Jam. We have 9 themes. You can choose one for your game. Each theme is taken from one of our 9 podcasts. The jam runs from April 20th to June 9th to provide a nice amount of time for you to make something cool. Check out the link in the description for more information and to figure out how to join and submit. Have fun!